Will those robot cars also build new roads for us? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Google, Tesla, GM, tech companies, and automakers are rushing to develop autonomous vehicles. But aside from new vehicles that drive themselves, what else needs to happen before these cars can hit the road? That's the question before a Senate Commerce Committee today. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports now on a role for government in what could become the driverless revolution.
So close, and yet still so far. There are lots of questions that need answering before cars ditch their drivers.
How these cars can operate in bad weather.
Dr. Mary Louise Cummings with Duke University is scheduled to testify at today's hearing.
How the cars operate in school zones, for example, with crossing guards and traffic policemen giving gestures that cars have to follow. And of course, the cybersecurity and privacy issues are real.
The Department of Transportation has promised to release guidelines for manufacturers this summer. A recent review of its safety standards found few regulatory hurdles for cars that accommodate a human driver. But the obstacles grow for designs that lose the steering wheel or brake pedal. And there are questions of infrastructure, too. Michelle Krebs is an analyst with AutoTrader.
Driverless cars have some difficulty with things like roads that don't have clearly marked lines, for instance.
And will driverless cars travel in special lanes? A recent study by the National League of Cities found only 6% of long-term city plans consider the potential impact of driverless tech. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
There's a moment in June of 2008 where the average cost of gasoline in America topped $4 a gallon. I would talk to people as part of my field reporting, and there was a sense that if this could be fixed, many other problems in life would also get solved. Well, the national average this week is $1.93 for regular, but we have data today on how gas prices actually play out in our budgets. It's part of the latest Marketplace Edison Research poll. Here's my colleague Andy Euler.
My mom sends me text messages when she sees cheap gas prices. We don't even live in the same state. There's something emotional that happens when we feel like we're getting something on the cheap. There's also pain when we're watching money drain out of our wallets.
Pain is kind of attention to money leaving your possession. Gas is pretty good at soaking up a lot of attention.
That's Scott Rick. He's a marketing professor at the University of Michigan who studies the psychology of spending. He says we experience that emotion attached to spending money on gas almost every day.
It's so salient. Every time we pass a gas station, we see prices. I think it gets too much credit and too much blame when people are casually assessing their own financial picture.
And Rick says part of the problem is that sometimes the math just doesn't add up.
Sometimes people can double book savings. Like you might splurge on a good dinner and think, oh, well, I saved the $30 from gas. And then you do something else and you're like, oh, well, I saved the $30 from gas.
I didn't tell Michelle Streeter about this, but she admitted to it. She works for the city of Mesa, Arizona, a town just outside of Phoenix. She has to go to a conference in Anaheim and had the option of buying a plane ticket or driving 5 hours.
And be very strategic about it. What I'm saving on my gas spending, I'll be spending at the outlet malls, you know, as I pass through Palm Springs. So it's because I can have a savings. What I can save on the bottom line, I can spend on a nice handbag.
Or on a trip to watch a spring training baseball game across the country. I met Don Beamer in Surprise, Arizona, watching the Texas Rangers play the San Francisco Giants. He took a flight here from Dallas. He says gas prices don't keep him up at night, but he still thinks about it.
We have gas budgeted. Fortunately, we don't have long commutes, so gas is an outrageous cost for us. But we definitely notice it when it's $1.50 versus $3.50.
Our poll showed that young people and hourly workers think lower gas prices benefit them a lot, and they feel less pain and feel like it's helping them get ahead, or at least stay afloat. I'm Andy Euler from Marketplace.
Explore the Marketplace Anxiety Index at marketplace.org. Plus, there's a quick quiz to see how your level of financial nervousness fits into our national survey data. There are indications the Obama administration is about to do an about-face on offshore drilling. Last year, the president supported a proposal to open up the southeastern Atlantic coast to oil exploration. Now there are reports the administration is switching course. Scott Tong of Marketplace's Sustainability Desk joins me. Morning, Scott.
Good morning, David.
So no official word yet, but what may have prompted this change?
There's been heavy opposition, David, from local industry and governments in powerful places like Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Savannah, Georgia, Norfolk, Virginia. Many of these places changed their minds after the BP spill. It's been 5 years now. I mean, this is not just the environment here. We're talking about the environment sector. tourism and fishing, they hire lots of people. Oil and gas uses a lot of machines and hires some people. On top of that, the Pentagon has major installations off Southern Virginia and has argued oil and gas activity could disrupt its missile tests and military testing. I mean, these are largely red states, but it seems the risk outweighed the benefits to many people here.
Any response yet from the varied stakeholders?
Well, not yet. The Obama administration had touted this as weaning us off foreign oil. We do still import many millions of barrels every day. And this administration has been accused of wanting it both ways, pushing big on climate change, pushing big on fossil energy. So we'll see how they talk about that. The oil and gas lobby also pushes on domestic jobs and energy. The perception challenge is the world right now doesn't need any more oil and gas. I mean, it may, it will down the road, but that's a tricky argument to make now.
Marketplace's Scott Tung, thank you. And Michael Jackson was hundreds of millions of dollars in debt at the time he died, but his business savvy will benefit his mother and three children. There's news today that the Jackson estate is selling their remaining piece of the Sony ATV music publishing catalog to Sony for $750 million. That means Sony will have the sole rights to the Beatles, to Dylan, and beyond. Michael had bought the rights for originally $41 million. The estate still owns Michael Jackson's songs and masters. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.